Last Sunday, we began a new sermon series that we're going to be going over the next few weeks called Bless. And so over these next few weeks, we're going to be looking at five practical ways to bless people in our lives, in particular, those who are not believers in Christ. And so today we're going to start with that first letter in the word bless, B, which stands for begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. That's the first kind of practice we're focusing on as we think about how can we bless people. We want to start by beginning with prayer. And the text that we're going to be looking at to focus on this idea is the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. And so we'll have those verses on the screen, or you can follow along in your Bibles or the Bibles in the pews. So Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would give us ears to hear your word to us today, Lord, that you would speak powerfully. Lord, for your word is living and active. And so remove any distractions, Lord. We pray that you would allow us to hear your word and that you would apply it to our lives, Lord, Holy Spirit. So give us ears to hear now, in Jesus' name, amen. Just before this passage that I read, we see an account of the day that Jesus had just before this day. And Jesus had an incredibly impactful day of ministry leading into what I just read. He started the day before, this is earlier in chapter 1, by teaching in the Jewish synagogue in Capernaum, the city of Capernaum. And the text tells us that people were amazed at his teaching, specifically the fact that he taught with authority. Then Jesus cast a demon out of a man at the synagogue while he was there preaching, that a man was demon-possessed, and he cast the demon out. Then he went to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law had been sick with a fever, and Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then that evening, crowds of people from the town came to Peter's house, and Jesus healed many more sick people. He cast out many more demons. He was just doing this amazing ministry out of Peter's house there that evening. And so in just one day, Jesus had made an incredible impact in the town of Capernaum. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had that kind of day, the first thing I would want to do the next day is sleep in. But that was not what Jesus wanted to do. That's not what Jesus does. In verse 35, we read, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." After this incredibly full day of ministry, he gets up early the next morning to pray. He goes off to a solitary place to spend time with his heavenly Father. Before Jesus enters into another day of ministry, another day of blessing people, he begins with prayer. And so as we think about this call to bless people in our lives that we're focusing on in this series, I want to look at why it's so crucial to begin with prayer. What do we see from the example of Jesus that might apply to our call to actively bless and love our neighbors? Well, the first thing that we see is that beginning with prayer reminds us that God is in charge. Beginning with prayer reminds us that God is in charge. And most of us have a tendency to think that we are in charge of our lives. And most of us want to be in charge. We want to call the shots. We want to set the agenda. We want to have a game plan and figure that out. And you can imagine the disciples being tempted to think in that way after the amazing day of ministry that they just had. Crowds of people were coming to Peter's house. Jesus was healing people, casting out demons left and right. And you can imagine the disciples thinking to themselves, hey, this is pretty good. Let's do it again today, right? Let's keep healing people. Let's keep casting out demons. Let's set up shop right here in Capernaum. Peter's house can be our base of operations. And people are going to come from far and wide to visit Jesus' house of miracles. Let's just keep doing what we've been doing. And you kind of get a sense of this from verses 36 and 37, which says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Right? Jesus, where have you been? What are you doing over here? We got work to do. You need to get back to Peter's house. Get ready for another amazing day of healings and miracles. Everybody's looking for you, Jesus. Let's ride this wave of popularity. But Jesus responds in a completely different way. In verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So Jesus says, no, we're not going to set up shop here in Capernaum. We're not going to spend all day healing people, casting out demons, even if everyone is looking for me, even if everybody wants a repeat of yesterday, we're moving on. We're going to go to the next town, to the nearby villages, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach there. That is my purpose. Now, what was Jesus doing just before he responded to the disciples with this kind of clarity and conviction? He was praying. He'd been spending that whole morning in communion with his Father. Now, the text doesn't tell us what exactly Jesus was praying about, but after that morning of prayer, Jesus knew it's time to move on. We're moving on, disciples. Now, it could have been tempting to stay put and soak up the popularity and the applause, but Jesus submitted himself to the Father because he knew that God is in charge. And so he tells his disciples, I need to preach in those other villages too. That is why I have come. Jesus knew that he had been sent by the Father, and he had been sent for a particular purpose. And that purpose was not to become popular or even primarily to heal people's diseases. His purpose was to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom and then to accomplish the mission his Father had given him, to lay down his life to save the world. That is why he had come. At the end of his ministry, we see Jesus praying again. And this time, it's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this time we find out what it was that Jesus actually prayed. He was struggling with the calling that his Father had placed on him. He prays in Mark chapter 14, verse 36, Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Speaking about the cup of suffering and judgment that he was about to receive as he was on his way to the cross. He says, Father, if it's possible, take this cup. But then he continues, yet not what I will, but what you will. See, Jesus knew his Father was in charge. And that was a good thing. He could submit himself to the Father's will. And that is exactly why it is so crucial that you and I begin with prayer as we seek to be a blessing to others in our lives. Because prayer reminds us that God is in charge, not us. We might be tempted to create all these plans and strategies for how we're going to bless tons of people in our city. But beginning with prayer means bringing all those plans, all those ideas, and laying them before God. And saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. You're in charge, so you take the lead. I'll follow. About a year and a half ago, at the beginning of 2017, I shared that it was my hope that our church would grow in the areas of prayer, disciple-making, and evangelism. If you remember that, that was sort of our focus in 2017. And one of the things that I felt personally convicted to start doing was to pray every time I went to go pick up my son Lucas from preschool. And I prayed specifically that God would open a door to have a spiritual conversation with one of the other parents who were also picking up their kid. And I didn't want to force it. I didn't want it to be just my agenda here. So I said, God, if you want this to happen, open the door. You're in charge. That was what I was doing as I was praying for that. Well, about a year later, this past spring, the father and mother of one of Lucas's classmates invited us over to their house on a Saturday morning. And the dad started talking to me and asking me about the fact that I was a pastor. He was curious what that was like and what had led me to go down that path. And so I started to share with him a little bit of that story in my life. And then he and his wife began to share their story, how they had grown up Catholic, but they had left the church when they were in college. And now they had two young kids, and they started to wonder whether it would be good for their kids to have some kind of exposure to a faith community. And they also acknowledged that they too were kind of feeling a hunger to explore spiritual questions themselves. And so we talked for a while that morning about Jesus and about my faith. And when we finally parted ways, I could not stop smiling, because God had completely answered those prayers I had been praying over the past year for him to open a door with one of those families. And it was so clear to me that God had been in charge of what happened that day, because it wasn't me trying to force a conversation about my faith on them. It was them actually asking me about my faith as I had gotten to know them. And so praying over the course of that year, asking God, Lord, open a door, and then looking for opportunities to spend time with those families, to grow in relationship with them, God finally opened that door. And it ended up being one of the most natural, relaxed conversations about my faith that I've ever had with someone, because it wasn't me trying to force it. It wasn't my agenda. God was in control. God was leading in that time. Beginning with prayer reminds us that God is in charge, not me. And rather than trying to create something according to my plans, my agenda, you know what? I want to join in what God is doing. I want to join in what God's already doing, the seeds that he is planting in people's lives. I want to follow his lead. And so I want to start by going to him, asking for his direction, waiting on his timing and leading. And all of that happens in prayer. Another thing that we see in our text about beginning with prayer is that beginning with prayer fuels us to bless others. So beginning with prayer, it reminds us that God is in control, and we go in prayer asking for God's leading. But also beginning with prayer, it fuels us, it feeds us to be able to bless others. When the disciples find Jesus after he's been praying, he is ready to go, right? He says, let's go to those other villages so I can preach there too. Remember, this is Jesus. He had just had an exhausting day the day before. Physically exhausting, emotionally exhausting. Remember, Jesus, he's fully God, but he's also fully human. And I'm sure he was exhausted after that day. But after spending time in prayer that morning, he was ready to go. He was fueled up by that time of prayer. It fuels him to bless others and continue on the mission that God has given him. In our scripture reading that Artie read earlier from Acts chapter 4, the believers in Jerusalem, they lift up their voices together in prayer. And the result is recorded in verse 31 of that chapter. It says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they preached the word of God with boldness. We'll put that verse up here too in just a second to see that verse from Acts chapter 4. After the prayer, the meeting was shook, filled with the Holy Spirit. They preached the word of God boldness. That time of corporate prayer was what fueled them to preach the word of God with boldness. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. When? After they prayed. Now, why would prayer fuel us to bless others? Because prayer is connecting to the source of all blessing. God. If we want to bless others, where are we going to find the energy and power to be able to bless others? By connecting to the source of blessing, the source of power. We're going to be able to bless others as we receive God's blessing and are able to bring that blessing to others. Without that source, we will start running on fumes. Back when Rochelle and I were dating, we were driving along Interstate 95 in Connecticut when the low fuel light came on in my car. And there was one particular gas station that was always cheaper than all the other gas stations that I knew along that path. And so I really wanted to get to that gas station, to the one that was cheap. And so I knew that we had a little ways to go, but I was pretty sure that we had enough gas to make it. So we kept driving, and when I was about two exits away, my car started feeling weird. And I realized I'm about to run out of gas. And so I'm approaching the exit just before the one that I wanted to get to, and I realized I better get off here or I'm going to be stuck on the highway. So I pulled off onto that exit and just started coasting down the exit ramp and praying that there might be a gas station at the bottom of that ramp. And miraculously, there was. And so I just literally coasted into the gas station, and the car just stopped 10 feet before the gas pump. And so I pushed the car the last 10 feet, and I thanked God for his mercy, and I promised Rochelle I would never do that again. But here's the thing. I do the exact same thing in my spiritual life. I foolishly think that I can keep moving and ministering without stopping to refuel from the source. But I can't. Neither can you. We can't. Trying to bless others without regularly refueling in prayer will lead to burnout. It's going to lead to just stopping, being stuck. You know, there are some days when I think to myself, I have so much to do today, I don't have time to do my devotions and pray. But almost without fail, on the days when I don't start with prayer, I end up more stressed, frustrated, and feeling overwhelmed. And on the days when I do start with prayer, even when I have a lot to do, even when I feel like I don't have the time, but when I do it, things always go way more smoothly on those days. There's a well-known quote by Martin Luther where he says, "I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer." I have so much to do, I got to spend the first 3 hours of this day in prayer. Now, I don't come close to 3 hours in prayer. And if you do, praise God. And please be praying for 3 hours for our church and for God's work. But you know what? If you and I could spend even 5 or 10 or 15 minutes every morning in prayer, connecting to God, the source of all blessing, if we did that every day, it would radically transform the way that we see people around us. It would shape our day in radical ways. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m., I heard that not everybody knows the time, so on Wednesday at 4 p.m., we have a midweek prayer meeting in the church offices. And I realize for some people that's not possible to come. But I also have to admit that there are some weeks when as that time is approaching that I think to myself, man, you know, I could be doing something more practical and productive with this hour. And every week, after spending time in prayer with my brothers and sisters in Christ, I always think to myself, that was the most practical and productive thing I could have done with that hour. coming to God in prayer. It's the most practical, productive thing, because God's the one who's going to do it. And I always feel recharged, filled up, and excited to love and serve the people around me after beginning with prayer. The final thing that we see in our text is that beginning with prayer sends us into action. So prayer, it reminds us that God's in charge. Prayer refuels us to bless others, and then it sends us into action. When Jesus finishes his time of prayer, he not only has a clearer sense of God's direction for him, you know, we're not going to keep ministering here, we're going to move on to the next villages, and he's not only fueled up for God's mission, but that time of prayer sends him into action. He tells the disciples, let's go to the surrounding villages so I can preach there also. And in verse 39, we read, so he went back to Peter's house, sat on the couch, and watched a movie. Oh, wait. That's not what that verse says? Right. No, it actually says he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. See, prayer, it always leads us into action. It sends us out, not to go and chill on the couch, but to go out into the world. You know, sometimes people pit prayer against action, as if prayer is just an excuse not to act. But prayer that is genuinely seeking God's leading and direction, it will always lead to action. Sometimes that action may be continuing to wait, but it's an active, expectant waiting, waiting for the time when God sends us. There's an active waiting that can happen too. But often when we pray about something, the Holy Spirit will prompt us to act in some way. I actually think that sometimes that's the reason that we don't want to pray, because we're afraid that if we do, God may ask something of us. But if he does, guess what? He will also give us what we need to do it. And so if you don't know what God wants you to do, if you don't know how he wants you to bless the people in your life who are not believers in Jesus, if you don't know where to start, begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. Ask God who you should be praying for. And as people come to mind, start praying for them. And keep praying for them, even if you don't know how God might want you to bless them. It took a year as I was praying for God to open a door with those families before that opportunity finally came. It might take some time. Keep praying. Over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about those four other ways to bless people. But it has to start here with prayer.